So we turn please to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And we read from verse 14, "And the angel of the church unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now turn back, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. And we'll read verse 22. "And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. They shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God, and behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last." Now God will bless what we have been hearing. Very important, the new birth that every person experiences that's going to be in heaven. We trust God will bless us. We've already heard in these portions that we have read. Very simply upon my mind is to notice with you, though I'm taking the verse in Revelation chapter 3 in a measure out of its context, but we'll explain that, I would like to notice with you the idea that we have of heaven's door, the heart's door, rather, in Revelation chapter 3, the heart's door, closed to the Savior. Closed and should be open. In Luke 13, we have heaven's door. Closed to sinners. A door that's open now, that's soon going to close forever. Revelation chapter 3 is written, and if you follow the reading, many of us are acquainted with the fact that this was one of the letters that was written to a church by the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, John is the writer, but it's the words of the Lord Jesus to these seven churches. And the church in Laodicea would represent the condition of things that prevails in the world in which we're living now. And we discover that there are many places where there are those who profess to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it would appear that he's on the outside. The condition is a condition of lukewarmness. He is counseling them to buy gold tried in the fire, that they may be clothed with raiment. They say they're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And it's certainly very apt as a picture of the condition of the religious world today. But apparently the Lord Jesus Christ is on the outside, because he is saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And there are many places that have profession of religion, but the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Savior of sinners, is not on the inside. Now that's the condition of the hearts of those who are not saved. The Lord Jesus is on the outside. There was a time when some of us discovered our need of the Lord Jesus. We heard the knocking of the Savior, and we opened that door, and we allowed the Lord Jesus to come into our lives. It all came when we found out that there was one who died for our sins at Calvary. And the Lord Jesus is represented here as standing on the outside of that door, knocking, attempting to come in. And I want to say, friend, tonight, that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to come into your life and into your heart. He wants to take over the reins of control of your life and give you a blessing that you can't get anywhere else. It's not just a blessing down here, it's a blessing for eternity. For everyone that's saved or born again, it's going to be in heaven. And there's a wonderful future that lies ahead for those who are saved. Sometimes we've tried to point out why the door is closed. Why is it, you suppose, that people keep that door closed to the Lord Jesus? They don't want him in their life. They don't want him in their heart. Reminds me of an open-air meeting that some of our brethren were having down in California one time. They used a large area in front of a drugstore. And, of course, if the druggist had known, it was likely attracting more business than detracting. But anyhow, he came out one day and he said, "Who's in charge here?" And, of course, the first man he got a hold of, he said, "Look," he said, "you men are interfering with my business." Well, the man very wisely said to him, he said, "Sir," he said, "God has a right to interfere anywhere." And friend, the God that made us, and the God that holds our breath in his hand, and the God that controls our lives, and the God that is able to close that hand upon the breath and the soul goes out into eternity, he has the right to interfere in the life of any individual. And God never interferes in anybody's life without the idea of blessing that individual. Well, that sounds kind of strange to me, because why does God allow this to happen and that to happen? Sickness and all the rest, that's all the result of sin. But friend, God wants to give you a blessing. And that's why the Lord Jesus wants into that heart of yours. Now, a lot of hearts are closed because of S-I-N, sin. There are things that people enjoy in this life that they are not willing to give up. And they don't want to part with their sin. Well, they might not come out and just say it like that, They say, well, I had a young woman come to me and she was troubled about her soul. She was interested in God's salvation. But she said, I couldn't get saved. I said, why couldn't you get saved? Well, she said, I couldn't give up the dance. I said, I didn't say anything about giving up the dance. But she knew right away that if she got God's salvation, she wouldn't be interested in the dance anymore. Oh, my friend, the Bible doesn't say that you've got to give up the dance, and you've got to give up this, and give up that, and give up the other thing. But I want to tell you, if you get God's salvation, there's a lot of things you won't want anymore, because you get something that is satisfying. You get the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Heaven is your home. We've got the best of it down here, and the best of it for eternity. Some, it's religion that keeps the door closed. When you say religion, I thought that's when the door would be open. Well, there's a lot of people that are religious. I knocked on the door of a home one day in Fogo, on Fogo Island, just off the coast of Newfoundland, and there was a fairly well-to-do lady there, and I knew that she was a very religious lady. She attended her church duties and all that, very particular about all that kind of thing. And I said to her, calling her by name, I said, when I knocked in the door, she opened it, I said, would you like to come and hear the gospel? We're preaching the gospel every night in a little building just down the way here. She said, I have my own church. Well, I said, lady, I didn't say anything about your church. I said, would you like to come and hear the gospel? She said, I have my own church. Well, I said, lady, I'm not talking about church. I said, we're telling people that what they need to get to heaven is to know Christ as their Savior. It's not a matter of what church you belong to or where you're going. I said, it's a matter of knowing that your sins are forgiven, that heaven is your home. She said, all the waters in the ocean, she said, wouldn't wash me out of my church. I just kept on trying to explain. I'm not talking about church. Okay, and that's not churches, but there's a lot of people, and they think we want you to join our church, my friend. That's not the point. The point is you need Christ as your Savior. And if you're ever going to be in heaven, there has to be a bowing to the Word of God and acknowledgement, oh God, I'm a guilty sinner, and I deserve judgment because of my sin. Maybe there's someone here and you don't think you deserve to be in hell. I want to tell you, friend, if you could see your sin the way God sees it, you would understand right away that that's exactly what you deserve. Every one of us that ever got saved by the grace of God, we discovered that we deserve the judgment of God for our sin. Came a time when we understood there was one who bore our sins in his own body on the tree, who died upon the cross to put away our sin. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and that heart's door is closed, and you're not willing to open that door. Oh, friend, there's a Savior on the outside, and he's knocking at that door, and he wants to come in. He wants to change your life and give you something worth living for. When I think of this verse, I think there's some real marvels here in this verse. It's a marvelous thing when you think of the person that's knocking at the door. My friend, it's not just a matter of a preacher that's preaching to you tonight. It's a matter that the Lord Jesus Christ, every time you hear the gospel, and every time you think about your soul, and every time you have those thoughts that stir in your mind and in your soul, while you're lying on your bed perhaps, and you're thinking, I wonder what's at the end of the journey. I wonder what's going to happen when it's all over. You look at a man that has gone out into the great beyond, at a corpse or something like that, and you think to yourself, I wonder where he's gone. I wonder where I'll be. My friend, that's the Spirit of God dealing with you. That's God knocking. That's the Lord Jesus knocking at your heart's door. He say, I want to come in. And you don't seem to understand that. And the Lord Jesus stands and he knocks at that door. You see, he's not going to force his way in. God isn't going to force you to get salvation. I have a dear uncle. He's gone now. I hardly like to mention this anymore, but because it was such a sad thing. My father spoke to him, to his brother, his youngest brother. He made a profession one time, but I don't know where he stood. But my father asked him, he said, Bill, he said, what about your soul? When are you going to get serious? When are you going to get the matter of your soul salvation settled? He said, we don't want you to die and wake up in hell. He said, Jack, if I want to go to hell, that's my business. You look after yours. Can you imagine? If I want to go to hell, that's my business. You look after yours. I want to tell you, it's a solemn business, friend, to think that at the end of the journey, if you were to die in your sins, your soul would be in hell forever and forever and forever. The poet says, now let us turn our thoughts below, upon the filling pit of woe, and ask the question, who shall dwell in the devouring flames of hell? Whether he be a pagan wild or born a Christian's favored child, God will not suffer him to go unwarned to everlasting woe. But friend, at the end of the journey is a lost eternity, an eternal penitentiary, hell in the lake of fire. And while we don't like to preach about it, friend, that's the truth of it. And if you die in your sins, you'll be lost forever. And all the time there's a Savior knocking at the door, reminding you of that picture of Holman Hunt's. It was a famous picture. I think the original got burned, but there's copies of it. And that picture depicts a door to a building, and it's all beautifully flowered and one thing another, but there's the door. And outside that door is pictured a man, and he's standing there, and he's knocking at that door. And when Holman Hunt painted that picture, when it first was put on display, an exhibition, why, people gathered and they looked, because it was a true work of art. It was a wonderful painting. And he stood back to listen to the comments. And he heard a couple of men there talking about it, and he tuned his ear to hear what they were saying. And he heard one of them say, but there's something wrong with the picture. And he stood a little closer and said, sir, he said, what's wrong with the picture? Well, he said, it's quite obvious. The man is there at the door, but there's no handle on it. He can't get in. Oh, said Mr. Hunt, he said, that's the way the picture is supposed to be. He said, what do you mean? Well, he said, that represents the heart's door, and the Lord Jesus knocking on the outside, standing there with that lamp, wanting to bring the light of the gospel to that soul. But he said, the responsibility to open the door lies with the person. The handle's on the inside. Now, friend, God gives you the responsibility. What you're going to do when you hear the knocking of the Savior, when God is dealing with you about your soul, Think of the marvelous position of the Savior standing and knocking at the door. You know, it seems to me that some people want to brush it all aside. Leave me alone. Let me live my life the way I want to live it. Don't bother me. Why should I have to listen to the gospel? Why should I have to do this? Why should I have to have anything to do with God, my friend? Listen. God made you, God created you, God gives you the breath you breathe, and you're going to have to stand before God one day. When Amos wrote those, said those words, prepare to meet thy God, he was talking about something that has come right down through the ages, because every individual is going to have to prepare to meet God. Friends, you have to meet God. And the Lord Jesus is standing on the outside of that door of yours. And oh, think of the marvelous patience of the Lord Jesus. How many times in your life have you heard the Lord Jesus, heard his voice or heard his knocking? That time when you were sick and you knew you might not recover. You're here tomorrow night, I'll tell you of my experience coming right near to death. The doctor shaking his head and saying there's no hope. I want to tell you, friend, when you get to that place, it's nice to know Christ is your Savior. And he knocks. He knocks in those experiences that you have. That hair's breadth that you came from an accident that would have sent your soul into eternity. I want to tell you, these things happen. And God allows these things as a knock on your heart's door to get you to understand the seriousness of this matter. And patiently, and with long suffering, the Lord Jesus continues to knock. And for 5 weeks he's been knocking at the heart's door of some, night after night in these gospel meetings. I want to tell you something, you're going to have to answer for every knock you've ever heard, for every time you've heard his voice, for every meeting that you've sat under, and God has been dealing with you by his Holy Spirit, you'll have to answer for that. And say, well, I had opportunity, I could have got saved, I didn't make it my one aim, my one business in life. And the Lord Jesus continues to knock. Oh, his patience. We told you one night, there's some of the folk, about Christmas Evans, that man who used to speak sometimes, preach sometimes in parables, and he told about visiting a home. I know I mentioned it before, but I'll just refer to it briefly. Yeah, speaking in parable, he said he went to town, and as he went, he saw this large house, big mansion of a place. There was a man in white apparel, and he was knocking at the door. But there was no answer, and he stood there, patiently knocking, and no answer. And he said, I went on into town, and when business was done, I came back in the evening, and there was that man, that stranger in white apparel, and he was still knocking at the door. And he said, I marvel to think that he waited so patiently at that door when there was no response. And he said, I went back to town the next day, and as I went past that door, he said, there was a stranger still knocking at the door. In fact, he said, I saw the door open, just wide enough for a hand to come out and to smite that stranger on the face, and the door was closed. He said, I marvel that he continued to knock even when the door was closed. Oh, friend, listen. There are people tonight, they don't mind taking the name of the Lord in vain. They don't mind living the life they want to live. They don't mind sin and all the iniquity that goes along with the world and its sinfulness today. And all the time, there's a Savior patiently waiting and knocking. And he said, I came back from town the next day, or at least that evening. And he said, I noticed that the stranger in white apparel had withdrawn himself and was gone. And then he changed to reality from parable, and he said, I was called just a few days ago to the home of a wealthy man, a man who had heard the gospel many times in the past, And he said, I was called to his bedside, and the man was dying. And he said, I tried to pray with him, but he said, the heavens were glass. I couldn't seem to get through to pray for him. I tried to talk to him about eternal things and about the Lord Jesus, and he wasn't interested. He was stopping his ears. He didn't want to hear anything about it. The stranger had withdrawn himself. The man slipped out into eternity without Christ. Oh, friend, what a solemn thing to think that there's some in our meeting and God has dealt with you night after night after night. You may miss your soul, miss salvation, miss God's blessing, and the Lord Jesus wants to come in. Was it Dr. Lorenz from Europe, very famous doctor, came over to this country to treat a woman. Of course, she was quite wealthy and able to afford to bring the doctor over and to look after him while he was here and to pay for a very serious operation. There was a woman in that same city to which he came who had the same problem. She couldn't afford anything like that. She didn't know which way to turn. And one day, Dr. Lorenz was out for a walk, took a walk usually every day. He had his driver of the limousine usually come and pick him up. So far along the way, and this day it started to rain. He didn't want to catch cold, so he stepped up into the porch of somebody's home on that street just to get out of the rain. And the woman came out and gave him a going over for getting on her property and made him get off. And so he left. And of course his limousine came in a few minutes and picked him up. But you know, there was a story came out in the paper, it was headlines, how Dr. Lorenz, who had come over to this country, had been treated so nastily by some individual. He stepped on the veranda to get out of the rain and had been told to leave. And when this woman read about Dr. Lorenz, she knew that Dr. Lorenz was the only man that could have been a help to her with the disease that she had. And they heard her cry out. She said, oh my God, she said, he was on the doorstep and I didn't let him in. And she never got the benefit of the man who could have done something for her. Now, friend, listen, the only one that can do anything for you, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, is the man tonight with nail-pierced hand that knocks upon that heart's door of yours and he wants to come in. Are you going to let him in? He patiently knocks. Listen to his pleading. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Oh, friend, what a wonderful promise. What a wonderful provision. Have you heard his voice? Would you open the door and let him come in? He's the man that bears the marks of Calvary. He's the one who suffered and bled and died to put away your sin upon the tree. And that nail-pierced hand tonight is knocking at your heart's door, and his voice is saying, you open the door, and I'll come into you. I'll sup with you and you with me. Any man hear my voice? Remember what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 5? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Oh, I want to tell you, God is speaking to you tonight. A young man on the west and east side of Newfoundland, not a young man now, but he tells when he was a young man how that he was very troubled about his soul. He had often felt the Savior knocking at his heart's door, but he didn't get saved. One day he was very troubled about it, and he thought, I'll go to the theater and try and forget. When he got to the theater, it just happened that the headlines across the front of the theater said The Great Judgment Day. That was the name of the picture. The Great Judgment Day. And he couldn't go in. The Great Judgment Day. That's what I'm trying to forget. The Great Judgment Day. And God continued to deal with that young man. A few days later, he decided he'd go again. So he went to another one. When he got to that one, you know the picture they were advertising? It said, heaven can wait. Heaven can wait. Oh, I want to tell you, God has ways of dealing. And that young man couldn't rest anymore until he went home and he got down before God in acknowledgement of his sin. And Ed Pelley came to know Christ as his Savior. I want to tell you, friend, tonight, there's a Savior and he wants to come in. Wants to come in. There's a door that's going to be closed. We've been hearing about it. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, ye begin to stand without. Instead of the Savior standing outside wanting to come in, here's the picture. It's the sinner. And the door is closed. Salvation's day is past. Jesus has come. The saints are gone. There are going to be many who are going to say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Oh, you've taught in our streets. We heard the gospel. We knew the way of salvation. You told us to us night after night after night. We didn't think it would happen so quick. We didn't think that the Lord's coming would take place so soon. Why, it hadn't happened for all these years and we didn't think it was going to happen. But it's happened! And they're going to stand without and to knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. When they say, depart from me, I never knew you. Never knew you. Oh, friend, wouldn't you like to know the Savior tonight? Wouldn't you like to open your heart and let the Lord Jesus Christ come in? I think it's not like it is when a soul comes to Christ and opens the door, heaven rejoices. Oh, friend, the joy bells of heaven ring. When a soul gets saved, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. If you come tonight, you'll start heaven's joy bells ringing. Oh, I wonder if there's someone here and you're going to be too late. And heaven's door is going to be closed and you're going to want to come in, but it's going to be too late. God has spoken to you, spoken once again tonight. This is your opportunity. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him. What does it mean? It just means that if you're willing to take Christ as your Savior, if you're willing to bow and acknowledge, oh God, I know I'm a guilty sinner, but I see that the Lord Jesus died for my sins at Calvary. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth unto him. Oh friend, you've heard his voice. May God help you to give in to the dealings of the Savior tonight. Remember, it could be tonight or never. Oh, you say there's going to be another week of meetings? This might be the last night. This might be the last night. We quote that chorus again. So come, sinner, come. Salvation's free for all. It may be the last time you'll ever hear his call. May God help you to flee to Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God grant it. Amen.